Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
I'm John Batchelor. This is Friends of History Debating Society. I welcome Michael Vlahos to continue our conversation as Germanicus and Gaius, 90 AD in Londinium, drinking from our cups of wine along the Thames, speculating, imagining, counterfactualizing the loss of the empire, the retirement of the empire, the exit of the empire at the beginning of the first century AD, and how the emperor cult has worked through the Claudian family, Julian family, and now the Flavian family. The end of the Flavian line, because we can see the future, is Domitian, our present semi-divine emperor. He is unhappy. He has enemies. Not us. We're not the enemy. We're equus class. We stay away from the senatorial backstabbing. But we comment. And one of the comments that Germanicus has been pursuing for many weeks now is to observe in the 21st century how the United States of America, built as a republic, has transformed itself into an empire through hard work and sacrifice, Redeemer Nation, and that the institutions of the republic, the three institutions that are critical, the legislature, the executive, and the judiciary, are coming to obey the same model that the emperor emperor-shaped Roman, the Roman Republic, into one power source entirely, the emperor, the imperium, and all other institutions serve the emperor. Germanicus, a very good evening to you. I note that a legion is withdrawing from Afghanistan, probably fully complete, at the direction of the emperor here in the 21st century. And you have observed most recently that emperors have moments of great risk. That would be during succession. We're not now at a moment. We were a couple of months ago, but we're not now at that moment. So I want to explore what the transformation of the republic to the empire means for our institutions. And the one that comes to mind, because here in Londinium, we are surrounded by a lot of retired centurions. It's a good place. It's cheaper here. There's land. The land is good. And they find wives among the tribes, especially the Brigantes, who are obliging. And Londinium is a fine place for retirement. So the institution of the army, how has it changed under the emperor in the first century AD? And how has it changed under the former American Republic, now American Empire, in the 21st century? Good evening to you, Germanicus.
Good evening, Gaius. You know, the U.S. has gone through a series of military shifts, or a better way to put it would be to say that the role of the military in national life has changed four times in significant ways, much as it did in Rome. There was the Republican Army. There was the Army of the Long Civil Wars, which was very different. Then there was the early Imperial Army, which was far closer to a cohesive capability. And then finally, you had the later Roman Army, which was more disaggregated and less capable, as it turned out, of defending the empire in the end.
A hybrid army with 28 legions now here at the end of the first century AD, many of the legionnaires and their auxiliaries drawn from the tribes formerly our enemies, now our allies. Please continue.
Right, and at the end of the first century, though, all the legions are relatively equal. What happened in the later empire, of course, is that you had a bifurcated army where you had highly elite mobile forces, and then garrison place along the frontiers, which were less and less capable. And thus the empire was reliant upon a smaller and smaller group of highly technologically proficient and well-equipped professionals, and that wasn't enough in the end. Now, the U.S. started out much like Rome as a citizen army, and of course the heart of the American concept of a military is a militia, an armed group of citizens who will defend the country from attack. And that was true all the way up through the Spanish-American War, where you still had militia units being mobilized and sent to Cuba, for example. After the Spanish-American War, however, the U.S. had commitments that began to look a lot like Rome. We were deeply invested in China, and our main concern there was not the Chinese, but rather other great powers and their investment in China as imperialist enterprises. So we had actually fairly significant forces in China all the way up until 1941. It's really rather remarkable to note that there were at least six gunboats plying the Yangtze and Yellow Rivers, plus an army brigade in Tianjin, which is just a stone's throw from Beijing, and a marine brigade in Shanghai. All this amounts to what for the U.S. at that time was a significant military investment in our interests in China, and kind of a prefiguration of what was to come, and yet it was modest. What happened in World War II, of course, is the great transformation where the nation in arms literally became the nation in arms. All the men were drafted, and all the women were in the factories. So you had a real mobilization of society. And after World War II, the U.S. Was tasked with the defense of the so-called free world in this long Manichaean struggle with the Soviet Union. And that yet retained the sort of civic virtue of American citizens as the primary embodiment of the American military. In Vietnam, though, which was a larger debacle than most people understand, it wasn't simply a strategic defeat. It marked the end of the Republican American Army, and the successor military, the so-called all-volunteer force, is essentially a professional legionary force as Rome had in the first century AD, and it began to take over all of the elements of the defense of the free world that had once been tasked with a draft military, and now were now reposed in an imperial force that was completely under the command of the president. So you began to get a kind of emperor-army relationship that essentially mirrored that of Rome after Augustus. Augustus, of course, wasn't a general, but by the time you get to later emperors, even Tiberius, who was a general, and then going up through into the period that we're now in of the Flavians, all of them led the armies personally. And so Rome became an enterprise of empire in which increasingly the emperor was expected to lead the army, and this kind of relationship dominated the politics of Rome.
An irony there, Germanicus. You say the emperor was expected to lead the army. That was not always the case in the first century AD when the army, representing by the elite, the Praetorian Guard, would become the weapon that the Senate and the conspirators would use against the emperor and replace him accordingly. That will happen right to our emperor Domitian. I make note of that only because we're dealing with a suggestively politicized military here in the 21st century. And your case has led me to imagine that that was not willful on the military's part. It's logical. It's an extension of becoming an empire that the military must be politicized and must be a weapon, a tool, a moment where the emperor is either buoyed or removed?
Well, in an imperial system where legitimacy reposes in the empire, it is absolutely a necessity for the military as an institution to ally itself deeply with the office and person of the emperor, because that protects the military and that makes it indispensable. So it's less important in the contemporary American context that the president actually be a military leader, but it is critical that the relationship between the American emperor and the military is one of deep intimacy, and on the part of the military, one of deep loyalty to the emperor, because that cements a bond in which the military is protected. And what this means in practical terms, in sociological terms, is that the military essentially has been transformed today into a sort of military order, a separate society within American society, almost like a nation within a nation. Much like the military orders that emerged out of the Crusades, like the Templars and the Hospitallers, in which the military order is a distinct, almost monastic society whose total focus is its relationship with the emperor. And this is highlighted in very stark and unmistakable terms by the actions of General Milley, and by the relationship of the Secretary of Defense to the emperor today. And it highlights the fact that the emperor and the military are one, and that is very much characteristic of a mature imperial system.
And just here at the moment, because we're going to turn to another institution when we next speak, Germanicus, here at the moment now, the military was uncomfortable. The military leadership was uncomfortable, I'm being diplomatic, with the previous emperor, and has not expressed an opinion in the present emperor, but is following the direction of the Imperium to pull the Legion back from Afghanistan and Iraq and to tuck up the presence in the Pacific towards the PRC, the People's Republic of China's empire. So what we have is a military that at the moment appears comfortable with the emperor.
Well, the military was deeply uncomfortable with the previous emperor, Mr. Trump, because he represented an instability in terms of the military's relationship to the emperor. And he was also so deeply hated by the coalition of elites that it was clear to them that any kind of strong relationship with him would put their status at risk. And so the prudent course for them, the course they actually chose, was to ally themselves more deeply with the elites and the candidate of the elites, who is now the current president, even though it may have had some risks over the months leading up to the election, it nonetheless helped to move the dynamics of power toward the new president in terms of installing him in office. And also the commitment of the military publicly to ensure that the current president would be able to take office without perturbation meant that they were publicly throwing their authority in favor of the prospective emperor.
And it worked. It was successful.
Well, it was very Roman, too. That is what is amazing about it. And I think that this is a kind of marker of a sea change in American life, because Mr. Trump threatened to diminish the status of the military, and as he was to, you know, wind down the empire itself, whereas the small corrective of Mr. Biden in leaving Afghanistan is simply consonant with the kind of tactical withdrawals you would see in Rome, like Aurelian pulling the legions out of Dacia, for example. It isn't any big deal. Trajan himself, for example, Mesopotamia.
Right.
And only for a couple of years.
Right. And pulled back
right.
from Britain.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Leaving us in Londinium questioning why he was no longer committed to the garrisoning of northern Great Britain. And therein lies a story which we will tell another day. Germanicus and Gaius, we're going to turn to the judiciary, the court system, when we next speak, because it too is following a path that appears recognizable, going from a republic to an empire. But it is an independent part of the government of the republic, and so therefore the transformation must be done carefully. When we next speak, Germanicus and Gaius, Londinium 90 AD, along the Thames, all is well, Domitian is semi-divine, and that's okay with us. We'll be sure to put a few Cistercians into his father's worship service as we pass the temple on our way home tonight. This is John Batchelor, the Friends of History Debating Society, and Michael Vlahos of Johns Hopkins.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18+. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
Let's be real. Life happens. Kids spill. Pets shed. And accidents are inevitable. Find a sofa that can keep up at washablesofas.com. Starting at just $699, our sofas are fully machine washable inside and out. So you can say goodbye to stains and hello to worry-free living. Made with liquid and stain-resistant fabrics. They're kid-proof, pet-friendly, and built for everyday life. Plus, changeable fabric covers let you refresh your sofa whenever you want. Need flexibility? Our modular design lets you rearrange your sofa anytime to fit your space, whether it's a growing family room or a cozy apartment. Plus, they're earth-friendly and trusted by over 200,000 happy customers. It's time to upgrade to a stress-free, mess-proof sofa. Visit washablesofas.com today and save. That's washablesofas.com. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.